Shalom to all. Today's office bomb master of Kufmem Talon, and we're starting Kufmem Gimel Amud Beis near the bottom with a brand new Mishnah. And today's office sponsor, Lilu Nishmas, Marshmerim Sar Basar Yaakov Moshe, her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And the Mishnah says, Hinech Banim Gedan Muktanim, father died and left over sons who were older and younger. Hishbichu Gedan Mzan Echasim, if the older ones, they improve the Nechasim, they improve the estate, Hishbichu Lemza, that improvement, all that gain is for the middle, meaning everyone splits it equally, they can't take that gain. However, Im Amru, if they told Bezdin or Edim, Ru'u Mash Hinech Abba, see what our father left us, and we want to divide it right now because we want to be able to work with it and be eichel, meaning benefit from that which we're working and improving it. We want to take that for ourselves. And so in this case, if the Bezdin didn't get around to dividing it right away, and Ishbichu, these older kids, ended up improving the property, La'atzman, that goes to them, they get to keep it, and they do not have to split it with their younger siblings. Also a woman who is Mashbiach L'Nechasim, this is referring to where she was a Yoresh, where she gets part of the Yerusha as well, or we're explaining the Gemara how that is. Hishbichu L'Emtza, that's just for the middle, everyone splits it equally. She doesn't get to take it herself. However, Im Amr, if she said, Ru'u Mashiniach Libali, I want you to see what my husband left for me, and she was telling this to Bezdin or to Edim, and again, she's trying to get them to make a chalukah right now. She wants to take her portion right away, and they didn't get around to doing that, and she stipulates clearly, Hariyani Oisav Aicheles, I'm going to be working it and producing, and I want to benefit from that. In this case as well, Ishbichu La'atzma, when she causes it to gain, that all goes to her, and she does not have to share it with the other Yarshim. Now we clarify the din of the Mishnah. Amr of Chaviva, Brid of Yosef, Brid Rava, Mishmei de Rava, Loi Shanu, this was only taught that the Shevach goes L'emtza, goes to the middle, everyone splits it, El Shoshav Nechasim, Machmas Nechasim. That's if they improve the Fa'as Nechasim because of the Nechasim, meaning they used funds from the estate, or they used workers from the estate to improve the estate. They didn't take any money out of their own pockets, and they didn't do the work themselves. So in the Shevach, all this improvement is split equally among the Yarshim. Avol Shavchu Nechasim, Machmas Atzman. But if they were the ones that put the work in, if these Yisraelim get on themselves, picked up shovels and started digging and doing stuff, or they used money out of their own pockets to improve the estate, so then Ishbichu La'atzman, that Shevach goes to them privately, even though they didn't make any stipulation beforehand, they didn't say anything to Bezdin, just by the mere fact that they took money out of their own pockets, or they themselves were the ones that went and started digging or building, that gives them the Shevach automatically. Asking more, is that really so? Amar Ruchanina says, even if their father only left them an Udaini, which is like a bar that has water in it, some sort of water cistern or water storage tank, and the Yisraelim improved it, they made money off of it by, let's say, selling this water or renting out the bar so that farmers could use it for irrigation, haschar la'emtza, that's chars for the middle, everyone has to share it. And here's the question, va'udaini de'machmas atzmaihu. This udaini, this water storage tank, that's considered machmas atzmai. They're not using anything from the state to help it make money. They're taking money out of their own pocket to hire shayrim, or they themselves are being the shayrim on it. They're standing there making sure nobody else steals the water, and that's considered machmas atzmai. They're putting themselves into it, and nonetheless, they have to split the profits with all the yarshim, meaning their younger brothers. And so it seems to be that this member, the name of Rava, is not correct. So more answers, that's not a question. Shani Udaini, this water storage tank is different. Dilan Tirusuhu Davida. The only thing they have to do is watch it. But Fil Ketanim Nami, Matsu Mintrila, and even Ketanim are technically able to watch it. So it's not considered like they're taking money out of their own pockets, or they're investing their very being into improving the estate. And that's why in this particular case, even if they themselves actually were there watching it to make sure no one takes the water, we still say Aschar La'emtza. We continue explaining the Mishnah that Amru, if the Yisraelim Gedanim had said, Ru'u Mashiniach Abba, see what our father left us. They were telling this to Bezdin. Harayanu Aisim Va'ichlin, we're going to invest in it and we're going to produce and benefit from that ourselves. Hishbichu La'atzman. If they were Mashbiachet, they cause it to gain, they could take that all and they don't have to share with the younger brothers. Now we have a story about this. Rav Safra, Shavakavu Azuzi. Rav Safra's father, when he died, left over money. Shukalinhu, Rav Safra took that money, Avidbu Iska, he did some business with it and made more money. Also, Achi, his brothers came along, Tavu Bedina Kameh de Rava, they brought him to Dintar in front of Rava, they want to get a share of those profits. And their time was, Rav Safra never officially stated in front of Bezdin that he wants to split the Yerusha so that he could do business and make money and keep that all for himself, and therefore he should have to split it equally with us. However, Amr Lahu, Rava told them, Rav Safra Gafa Rabahu. Rav Safra is a great man, he's a big Talmud Chacham. Loi Shava Girsei V'Tarach Lachrini, he's not going to leave his learning and go work for somebody else, and therefore there's a special dispensation for Talmud Chacham that he doesn't have to make this official statement that we see in the Mishnah, that I want to divide the Yerusha now so that I could take the money and keep all the profits for myself. Since he's a Talmud Chacham and he went out to do business, it's obvious that he was doing it just for himself, so therefore he gets to keep all the profits. We're going to explain the next case of Mishnah. If a woman was a Mishbicha L'Nechasim, so that gets shared equally by all the Yarshim. Ask the Gemara, Isha B'Nechse Yasmi, Maya Vita. What's this woman doing by the Nechasim of the Yisoimim? A woman's not a Yoresh. She doesn't Yarsh on her husband, so what's she even involved in these Nechasim for? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, he answers, Isha Yoresh. Yes, we're talking about a woman who's Yarshining. It could be referring to a case where we have brothers Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven married Shimon's daughter, his niece, and then both Reuven and Shimon died. And then their father, Yaakov, died. So Reuven's Amana, which again is Shimon's daughter, is going to be yarshining her grandfather because she gets a portion due to her father. And her kids as well are going to be yarshining the grandfather because that's going to be coming through their father, Reuven. And that's just one of the multiple cases that we could have. And so we see that she could be a Yeresh, and therefore she's allowed to be involved in the Nechasim. The Gemara asks Pshita, if that's the case, it's obvious. Of course she's allowed to be involved in the Nechasim. What's the Chiddush? The answer is, Malatim, you might have thought, Kim de lav darkel mitrach, since it's not the derech for a woman to be involved in business and try to improve the state and make money, afagav de loy parish, even though she didn't state clearly that she wants to make the profit, kimay de parish dummy, maybe it's like she did state it clearly and she gets to take all the profit, even though she didn't say anything. Kamashmal, the Chiddush is that no, since she didn't say anything, she has to split it equally with the Yisaimim. Continue to explain the next part of this case. Ve'im amr, if she did say clearly, Ru'u mashiniach li bali, see what my husband left for me, Harini oisav aicheles, I'm going to work it and benefit from that. Hishbicha, if she didn't prove it, la'atma, that goes to herself. So once again, the Gemara asks Pshita, that's obvious. Why would it not go to her? And the Chiddush is, Ma'atim, you might have thought, Kim deshbicha la milsa, since this is a big shevach, a big praise of her, Damri, other people are going to say, Katarcha kamayasmi, wow, what a wonderful woman. She's working so hard for the Yisaimim, she's investing in the property and she's trying to help it grow and gain money so that the Yisaimim could have more money. We might say, Achuli Achla, that she's Michael on that profit that she made because people are saying such nice things about her. Kamashmalan, the Chiddush is that no, since she spoke up and she said very clearly that I want to be able to take the profits, so she takes all the profits. And out of more scenarios, Amr Chanina tells as follows, Hamasa Isha Lubnai Gadol Babayas. A person marries his older son off in a house. This is talking about a base chasnas. Often we saw back in the day that people would build a house and they would use it as the chasna hall, and very often they would give that house to their child. What Chanina is telling us is that if a person married off his older son in this house that he built, what's the din? Kenai. His son acquires that house because obviously by the fact that he built this house and he married his son off in it, that he wants his son to have it. However, v'dafka gadol, it's dafka the oldest son, v'dafka basula, it's only if he marries his son off to a basula, v'dafka ishta rishayna, it's only if it's his son's first wife, v'dafka shesir rishayn, it also has to be that he's marrying his son off first, meaning his oldest son is the first one that's getting married in the family. We continue with other variations of this. Pshita, it's obvious, yichaloy aviv bayis v'aliyah, bayis kana aliyah loy kana, that if his father was miyachet a house with an aliyah, which means this house has an upper floor, and he married the son off only in the bayis, he only got married in the lower floor, and the upper floor wasn't used at all, so the son only acquires the bayis, the lower house, and not the upper floor. And that's because they're two clear distinct entities, so it's obvious that the father only wants him to have the bayis and not the aliyah. But what about the following? Bayis v'achsadra mahu. Let's say he married him off in the bayis, and there's an achsadra, which is basically like a walled patio right outside the house. What do we say over there? Maybe since the achsadra is definitely connected to the house, and it's not considered a separate entity, maybe the son does acquire it. And what about the following? Shnei batim zelfnei mizeh mahu. Let's say there was two houses, one behind the other, and the only way to access the inner one was by going through the outer one. So over here we have two distinct homes, but on the other hand, the only way to get to the inner one is by going through the outer one. So maybe the son gets both. And the Gemara answers all these by saying, Teku, let the question stand, and we're going to have to wait for all you Navi to come and answer it. And we continue asking, Meisvei. We have a brass that tells us, Yichaloi aviv bias uklei bias. Let's say his father was miyachet a house for him, and also the clay bias, all the different furnishings that go in the house. Clay bias kana, bias loy kana, that he's only kana the clay bias and not the house. As we see, when there's two potential things the son could be acquiring, the house is actually not included in that. However, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu answers, Kigan Chayoy Tsarshal Avim Munach Sham, it could be referring to where the father's storage house is over there. In other words, the father was using the house, and since he's using it, that shows that the house is not miyochid, it's not unique, it's not set aside for his son, and therefore only the furnishings, the clay bias, are for the son and not the house itself. And Ardai Amar the Chum and Ardai tell us, how far does this go? Avil Shivcha Diyani, even if his father left a dove coat in there and that's all he was storing, that's considered like the father's using the house, and the son doesn't get the house, he only gets the clay bias. And Rabbi Yehuda and Papa Amri, they say, Afilu Atzitza Daharsana, even if all the father has is a bucket of salted fish, has a little bit of Shabbos steak herring in there, that's also considered something like the father's using as storage. Now, some stories about this, Marzocha Nasbe Libre, Marzocha married his son off, and there was a house over there, Vital Le Sandala, and he hung his sandal in the house, showing that I'm still using it, so the house doesn't belong to my son. And Rav Ashi Nasbe Libre, Rav Ashi also married off his son, Vital Le Ashisha Demishcha, he hung a pot of oil there, showing that I'm keeping the house and it's not being given to the son. And Omar Zetra tells us, Hani Tlas Mili, the following three things, Shavin Rabbanan Kailchasa, the Rabbanan treated them like a halacha, meaning like a halacha Meshim Yisinai, Bloy Taima, without a reason. We don't know the reason for them, but they're the halacha. Chadaha, one of them is what we just mentioned about the house. Idach, the other one is the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hakasa Kol Nechasa L'Ishtai, if a person writes over all of his Nechasim to his wife, Eloya Sa'ala Apatrapa, he only turns into Apatrapas, into a manager of the state, and he's not actually giving her all of his Nechasim, and we learned about this previously. That's because he's just trying to show the Yusaimim that they have to respect their mother, and it's not that he's giving all the Nechasim to her. And Idach, the last one is the Amar Rav. Rav says as follows, let's say Reuven tells Shimon, Mana li biyadcha, I have a man in your hand, meaning you owe me a mana, Shimon. Tenei ulepleini, give it to that guy, give it to Levi. And this was b'mamet shlashtan in front of all three of them. Levi was also standing there. Kana Levi officially is kainet, even though no kinyan took place, still, since Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are there, and Reuven told Shimon, that money that you owe me, give it to Levi, so Levi automatically acquires it. And Otakov Mendalon and Beza on top of the brand new Mishnah, this is talking about brothers whose father had died, and they had not yet divided the Yerusha. So the Mishnah tells us, we have brothers who are partners. According to some, we're talking about two separate cases, brothers or partners, but really we're just going to understand it as brothers who are all living together, who still have not yet divided their father's Yerusha, and one of them fell into Omnes, which means that the king appointed him to be his tax collector. That's what the king would do. Every month, he would appoint somebody from a different household to be a tax collector, and this was very profitable. Nafala Emtsa, all these profits go to the middle, meaning they go to the father's estate. Since it wasn't divided yet, this brother can't claim them for himself. Another situation, Chalav Nisrapa, let's say one of the brothers got sick and he got healed. He had to pay for doctor bills. Nisrapa Mishal Atzmai, he has to pay for those doctor bills from his own pocket. He's not allowed to use money from the estate. The Gemara clarifies, Tana, we have a brass that tells us, Hai Omnes, Lo Omnes HaMelech. This Omnes that we're talking about in the Mishnah is talking about Omnes HaMelech, like we explained. The king appointed him to be a tax collector. And Tana Rabbanu, we have another brass that tells us, Echem Minu Achan Sheminu Gabai or Pulmustos. One of the brothers was appointed to be a Gabai or Pulmustos. This is some sort of officer or policeman, and this is also a profitable position. The question is, where does his money go? In his own pocket, or does he have to give it to the state? So it depends. If he was appointed because of the brothers, it goes to the brothers. Meaning, if he was appointed because he's part of this household, so it goes to the household. Whereas, if he was appointed because of himself, it goes to him. In other words, if it was because he was very sharp or strong or witty or smart or some sort of other reason, and that's why they picked him for this job and had nothing to do with his house, so then he gets the money and he doesn't have to give it to the state. Ask the Gemara, im achmas achin la'achin pshita. If he was appointed because of the brothers, meaning because he was part of this household and it was this household's turn to have someone picked to be the tax collector or the officer or the policeman or whatever it is, so it's obvious that he has to take all those profits and all that money and give it back to the household. And the answer is, loisricha, the whole chiddush is the charav tfei, that this guy happened to have been particularly sharp and smart and wise and witty. Ma'udetim, you might have thought, churfei garmle, that the reason why he was picked over the other brothers is because he's sharp and he's great and that's why they wanted him and therefore he could take all the money. K'mashmon, the chiddush is that no, since it was this family's turn and he was picked by the king, we can't say that he gets to keep all the profits and he has to give it back to the state. And Tana Rabbanu, another brass that tells us, echem and achen shenato masayim zuz lomad taira oy lomad omnes. One of the brothers took 200 zuz from the state to learn taira. He needed to support himself in kailal or in order to learn a trade. He wanted to be able to support himself later on in life and not just take money from the state the whole time. Yechalin achen loy merloy. The brothers can tell him, im ata etzleinu, if you live with us, yashlacham azaynes, so then we'll pay for your food. Im ein ata etzleinu, but if you're not with us, if you're off in yeshiva learning, you're out in college, university, trying to learn a trade, and lacham azaynes, so you don't get food from us, and that's within the right to say it. Ask the Gemara, v'lisru le kol hechad isay. Why don't they just pay him wherever he is, wherever he's located? Why don't they send him a check for his monthly expenses? At the end of the day, he is a yoresh, and he does have the right to get supported from the state. And since we do not say this, it must be the Masei of Ravuna. It's a right for Ravuna. Dam Ravuna. Ravuna says, berchas abayis beruba. There's more bracha in the house when there's a lot of people there, and therefore they do not have to send him any money. Ask the Gemara, v'lisru le lefi berchas abayis. So why don't they just send him the amount of money based off of the berchas abayis he would have brought in, or whatever they're losing due to the fact that he's not there? So they'll just subtract that from his monthly allowance. And the Gemara says, you're right, hachinami, that's actually what they do. He doesn't get the regular allowance as if he was living at home. He's going to get a little bit less than that. We can explain the Mishnah, Chalav Nisrapa, Nisrapa Mishal Atzmai. We said that if he gets sick and he needs to heal himself, he has to pay for all those doctor bills from his own pocket. Ravin sent the following name, Ravila. That's only if he got sick, Bipshia. It was his fault. He was negligent, so he has to pay for the doctor bills. Aval Ba'ainis, Nisrapa Mina Emta. But if he got sick, Ba'ainis, it wasn't his fault, so then he could use money from the state to pay for his doctor bills. Ask more, what's a case of Pshia that it's his fault that he got sick? Kidrab Khanin, so Rav Khanina says, Rav Khanina, tells us, everything's b'day shemayim, chutz b'tzin and pachim, except for cold winds or cold drafts, which basically means that if it's cold and you don't go outside properly covered with a hat, glove, scarf, coat, whatever it is, and you get sick, it's your fault. That's not b'day shemayim. How do we know this? Shemar, the pasuk says, tzin and pachim b'derech ikesh, shaymer nafsha yirchak mehem. Cold drafts are snares or traps in the way of a stubborn person, and when he wants to guard himself, will keep himself far away from them. Make sure you wear a coat when you go outside. And since this brother didn't do that and he got sick, it's his fault. He has to pay for those doctor bills out of his own pocket. And moving on to another Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah and Gemara, we're going to be discussing something called Shushvinus or Shushvinin. And this was an interesting practice they had back in the day, which was when someone was getting married, his friend would bring a present along to the chasana, be misameach with him, dance, sing, eat the meal with him, sometimes even do this throughout all the Sheva Brachas. And that was reciprocated. That was done in exchange to him when he got married. And we're going to see in the Mishnah that this is something that he can actually be tevea in Bezdin. So let's say we have friends, Reuven and Beryl, and Reuven did this for Beryl. When Reuven gets married, Beryl has to do it for him. So that the Mishnah tells us, we have brothers that some of them were made shushvinus in the life of the father. Right now we're understanding this to mean that the father sent a present with one of the brothers, we're going to call him Reuven, to go be misameach at Beryl's chasana, and then afterwards afterwards the father died, and then Reuven's getting married. Chazos Shushvinus, when this Shushvinus is coming back, when Beryl now is coming to Misamecha, Reuven's chasson, he's bringing a present, Chazor L'Emsa, that goes to the middle, meaning that gets split up equally by all the brothers, it's not just Reuven's. And why is this? Shashushvinus Nigvus Bezdin, because this Shushvinus, this present, could be collected in Bezdin. It's considered like a halva. It's like it's owed by Beryl to the one who sent it, and since the father sent it, even though he sent it with Reuven, since he had sent it, it's considered part of regular Rusha, and it's not just Reuven's. Avol, however, says Mishnah, if a person sends his friend pitchers of wine or oil, and he did not stay for the meal, he just sent it as a present, then ein nigvim bezdin, this cannot be collected in bezdin, b'nei shein gemilas chasadim, this is just regular gemilas chasadim, it's a nice thing, he's giving him a present, and doesn't fit under this idea of shushvinos, that it's a present that could be demanded back, even in bezdin. And the Gemara begins by asking on the first part of Mishnah, v'rimin al askiu stira, we have a brass that says, shalchoi avu shushvinos, if his father sent him shushvinos, kshi chazeres, when it's coming back, chazeres loy, it comes to him, it comes to the brother that brought it, whereas nishtalcha le'avu shushvinos, if presents were sent to his father, meaning when the father himself was getting married, or maybe when the father was marrying off his son Reuven, presents were sent to him, kshu chazeres, when it gets sent back, meaning after the father dies, and now the one who had sent the presents to the father, he's getting married, and the brothers are sending presents back to him, chazeres min emtza, that money comes from the emtza, from the estate itself. And that seems to be a steer, because in the Mishnah, we had said that when Reuven, who is the original one that brought the present to Beryl, when he gets married and Beryl's bringing a present to him, it goes to the father's estate, it's shared jointly by everyone, and it doesn't go dafka to Reuven, but the Braisa says that it does go dafka to Reuven. As we're going to have multiple answers. Number one is Amrav Asi Amar B'yechanon, Kitana Nami Masnisin, Nishtalcha Le'aviv Tanan. Our Mishnah was actually talking about it being sent to the father. But just like in the Sefer, the Braisa, when gifts were sent to the father, and then the father died, and now the Yusaimim are sending gifts back, they're allowed to take it from the estate. That's what the Mishnah is telling us as well. The Gemara is, how could that be? V'ha'achin sh'asim uktasin shushvinus katani. The Mishnah says very clearly that some of the brothers were made shushvinus, which is mashma the father was sending to somebody else, not that he was getting sent to him. And so Rabbi Hasi answers, Tani, really we should understand the Mishnah as saying, limiktasan, that it was sent to some of them, meaning gifts were being sent to the father and not the other way around. As the Gemara, v'ha'chazo shushvinus katani. The Mishnah also says that the shushvinus come back to the father. And so how could you say our Mishnah is talking about a case where gifts were sent to the father and that the father sent them back? It's really the other way around. The father had sent the gifts and later on they're being sent back to him. So we answer Achikamer, this is really what's being said in the Mishnah. Chazra ligvois nigvis me'emtza. When the person who's originally sent gifts by the father is now coming back to the sons to collect those gifts in exchange, as we had said, it's halacha that he has the right to do so, then it's collected from the estate. So that's one way of understanding the Mishnah, which totally redoes the way we had originally understood the Mishnah. Rav Asi Amar, he comes with a different answer like Kasha. There's no steer Mishnah in Braisa. Kan bestam, kan mefarish. Our Mishnah is stam, and the Braisa is talking about mefarish. Ketan, you have a Braisa that explains this clearly. Sholach loy of a shushvinus, if a father sent him, he chose a particular son to send with gifts. He chose Reuven, I want you to take these gifts and give them to Beryl. So kshi chazeres, when Beryl's coming back to give gifts to Reuven when he's getting married, chazeres loy. So those go to Reuven, because it was obvious that when the father sent Reuven, that he chose him. Sholach loy, he wanted Reuven to take the gifts, so that's how Reuven gets them in exchange. As opposed to sholach of a shushvinus stam, if his father just sent gifts and he wasn't particular with which son who should be taking it, so kshi chazeres, when those gifts come back, when Beryl comes back and decides to repay those gifts, chazeres la'emsa, so then they go to the entire estate, because when the father had sent them, he didn't send them with intention that they're going with a particular kid, and that's what the Braisa is referring to. Now here we have a third answer. Shmuel says, "Hacha b'yavam maskinan." Over here we're talking about a yavam she'eino netel b'roy k'v'machzek. We know that a yavam does not get roy like he does machzek. In this case of shushvinus, is considered roy. It's something that's fitting to come to the state, but it's not there just yet. Before we continue, let's just explain what happened over here. We have a whole bunch of brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and Reuven was one of the shushvinin of his friend Beryl. So again, he brought those gifts and he gave them to Beryl by his chasana and danced and ate the suda and everything. Now Reuven's getting married, and sadly he died without children, so Shimon's taking his place because there's a mitzvah of Yibum. And the chiddush over here is when Shimon tries to tell Beryl, okay, you owe me gifts, I'm taking over my brother, I'm in place of him. We know that the Yavam inherits the brother, so Shimon inherits Reuven. Shimon's not able to demand those shushvinin, those gifts from Beryl, because they're considered roy and not mochzuk. Now we purposely kept the situation very unclear, because now the Gemara is going to discuss it. Now Mechala, this implies that by saying that the Yavam, Shimon, does not receive these gifts, the Idach Meshalim, that technically Beryl would have to pay them, it's just that Shimon doesn't get them because he happens to be Yavam and he's not able to get something that's considered roy. But now here's the question, why does Beryl have to pay them in the first place? Lema, why doesn't he say, Tenuli shushvini v'esmachimai, give me my shushvinin, give me my friend if you will, and I'm going to celebrate with him. Milay Tanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa, Makam Shenagul Hachzer Kedushin Machzirin, Makam Shenagul Shaloi Lahachzer in Machzirin. If it's a place to return the Kedushin, it's returned. If it's a place not to return the Kedushin, then they don't return it. Namely, there was Eirsin and not Nisuin, and then the wife, the Arush, Arusa, she died. So depending on what the minig is, depends on whether or not the money of Kiddushin has to be returned to the husband. And a clarification of this, Amar Yosef or Abba, Amar Ukva, Amar Shmuel, Loshan, this is only taught El Shemesa, he. That's only if the Arusa, the woman, she died. Aval Meis, who? But if the husband, the Arus, he died, in Machzirin, then the woman for sure does not have to return the money. My Tama, why is that? Because Yichayel Yishet Tamar, she's able to say, Kofem Heomar Alfa Atap, Tenuli Bali, Vasmachimai, give me my husband, I'm going to rejoice with him. Hachanami Soto over here, Neima, why doesn't he just say, Tenuli Shushvini, Vasmachimai, give me my Shushvinin, and I'm going to rejoice with him? In other words, we're implying from this whole situation that technically Beryl is chayiv to repay these gifts that he got from Ruvain, and the only reason why he doesn't have to pay them is because it's considered Roy, and Shimon, who's the Yavam, who's Ruvain's Yairesh, just has a technical issue why he's not able to demand them from him. The problem is, why should Beryl be chayiv to repay Ruvain in the first place? As we had explained, the way Shushvinin work is that one gives the other presents, and he doesn't just give the presents, but he also rejoices and dances by the chasanin, and then the one who was done to has to do the same thing to the first guy. Well, over here, since Ruvain died, Beryl shouldn't have the chayiv to do so anymore, because he could say, look, I'm more than happy to give the presents, give me my friend Ruvain, and let me rejoice with him, let me dance with him, and since you can't do that because Ruvain died, so I don't have a chayiv to give the presents either. And we're basing this off the idea that if we have an Aris and an Arusa, and the Aris died, the woman doesn't have to return the Kiddushin money, because she could say, give me my Aris, and I'm happy to marry him and rejoice with him, and since you can't do that, it's your issue, and she doesn't have to return the money. So Amar Rav Yosef answers, Hachmaiskin, what are we talking about over here? Kigon Shesamach Imazayin Yimei Mishta, that actually Beryl and Ruvain did rejoice together, even throughout the entire Sheva Brachas, V'loi Hispik L'Paroi Ad Shemes, and Beryl didn't have a chance to pay him until he died. And that's the Chiddush over here. In other words, what happened is that Reuven was wanted to Shushvinin by Beryl, then Reuven himself got married, and it was a wonderful Chasan, it was a wonderful Sheva Brachas, and sadly, right after the Chasan and Sheva Brachas, Reuven died. So here, Beryl's not able to get out of it and say, Tell me Shushvinin V'asmach Imai. He was Mesamech with him for 7 days. It was great, it was a party, and therefore he's chayef to pay up with the presents, and that's why Beryl's not able to get out of it. The only reason why he doesn't have to give him to Shimon directly in this particular situation is because Shimon, as the Yavam, is the Yairesh, and he doesn't get Roy, and therefore it's going to go to all the brothers and not just to Shimon. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.